This is the Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast, covering everything from technology and gaming
to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here. Thank you for tuning in. You know, when it comes to relationships, you may put up with a lot of things, but then there's always a breaking point. Joining me today to speak about relationship deal breakers is author and licensed clinical psychotherapist, Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. Thanks for joining me, Dr. LB.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You know, recently in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article about relationship deal breakers based on several research findings. You know, are they right?
Yes and no. I mean, research often uncovers great things, but you also have to look at how the research is done. And I don't have the whole extensive, you know, back end of the studies, but some of the studies were done with pre-selected lists for people to choose from. Well, what if your deal breaker isn't on that list, but it's still worth going through the top ones? Is that good for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so number one, for men and women, is a deal breaker was a partner who is too disheveled looking. You know, really comes looking sloppy, dirt under the fingernails, maybe, you know, food between their teeth, and who knows what else. So why is that a deal breaker? Obviously, it's not very appealing, but it can tell you several things, and the top ones are that the person doesn't have high self-esteem, doesn't feel good about presenting themselves. Or the flip side of that coin is that these are people who are so-called their own person, are defiant, nonconformists, but they take it to extreme. And you really need to be careful about people with those extreme, you know, qualities in their personality because they can present problems. So the second top one was laziness. Men and women did not like a lazy partner. And the understanding of that is that most of us want a partner who is reliable, sort of like your wingman or your wingwoman, someone who can be there as your teammate. And when you've got a lazy partner, it leaves you vulnerable. So how do those first two sound?
Actually, really good. I like the laziness one only because it reminded me of Lucy and Ethel, like you need your partner in crime.
Yeah. Oh, I love Lucy and Ethel. That's right. Where would Lucy be without Ethel to
exactly.
help her?
Exactly.
I agree. That's terrific. And I am a big fan of Lucy because she represents so many of the issues that women still face today. You know, she always wanted to be famous, to have a speaking part in the relationship. And despite all the advances and cultural shifts in women and relationships, many women still struggle to have a voice in their relationship.
Why do you think that is?
They choose the wrong partner, and they are unable to separate themselves from any negative lessons they've learned in their family of origin about what women are like. You know, part of choosing a partner wisely is being aware as to whether the lessons you learned from your parents or caregivers and the role models that they presented to you, whether you want to keep them and whether they are healthy or not. And it's very hard to break from the past.
You know, I think of my cousin. She's gone through three boyfriends, and the last one really hurt her was her boyfriend cheated on her, and she didn't know until the girl contacted her on Facebook. Now, the guy before this one was really low down. He was a real kind of grimy looking guy. And, you know, you could look at him and say he was no good. But this guy was an accountant. He had a bachelor's degree. He was well loved by his friends and all this other stuff. And you never would have thought he would do this. Why do you think she would have gone from something so low to something so high? And then it's the same result.
It's a very common problem. In my research that I did for my book, Smart Relationships, I wanted to know why so many of today's professional women and working women and women with responsibilities at their jobs are very smart about work but not love. And one of the top relationship patterns that they got into with men, which means that men also got into it with them, you know, it's the Lucy Ethel situation, mm-hmm. One half is the other half. Well, what they did was, let's say, and this is what the most common pattern was, women were attracted to a very exciting man, even a bad boy. It made the woman feel alive. It made her feel like she had a life. Often, you know, you see these romantic comedies where the woman is some brainiac and some workaholic and some, you know, sort of off-the-grid guy comes into the movie and she falls for him, and she suddenly gets a life. Life is exciting. It's full. She feels alive emotionally and sexually. And so the women choose these men because they do offer a life and excitement, and there's nothing wrong with that. What can go wrong is when this man ends up being unrepentant bad boy, cheats on you, lies to you, takes advantage of your money, really only likes the excitement part, can't do the settling in daily part. And they often end up being not only in charge of their own wild choices in life, but they want to be in charge of you. And so women who get into that bind and wake up one morning and say, this very commanding man is trying to take too much command of my life, and it's not working. So what they do is they overcorrect, and what they end up with is often someone with whom they get into a pattern of a guy who they can command. This guy is usually very nice. You can tell them everything. They're sweet and good-natured. And again, there is nothing wrong with those qualities. It's only when you exaggerate those qualities and you end up with someone who can't belly up to the bar, can't make a decision, is afraid of confrontations, and isn't present there in the relationship. So one tip to give both your male and female listeners is one way to find out what your partner might be like in the future is exaggerate their personality and see where it takes you.
Wow, exaggerate? So let's take an example of, I don't know, my sister's husband. I'm just pulling it out. Okay, so he always talks out of his butt.
Okay.
So how would you exaggerate that?
Well, imagine that he does that all the time, that that's his default behavior, mouthing off, having an opinion, putting you down, not caring whether he's right or wrong, and defending that he's right all the time. So what kind of person is that to have in a relationship? You can't work as a team. You can never ever hear an apology. You're always going to be wrong. I mean, that's how you do it. Or think of the other way. A lot of women who are drawn to exciting men, or men who are drawn to exciting women. Imagine if you exaggerate that behavior. These people have to always be on. They're often tempests in a teapot. They like arguments. They like excitement. They often create crises. They're moody. They're difficult. They're demanding. Now, that's just like living in the center of a hurricane.
Oh, my God. I couldn't live with that. That would be horrible. You're right. Just imagining it. So let's say you did that. You examined it. You're trying to look at it from all the angles. What do you do now? Do you break up with the person? And do you reflect on yourself? Do you try to work it out? What should you do?
Any of those. But I don't recommend breaking up until you try to change your own behavior. You know, you really can't change someone. I know it sounds so appealing and you think you can, but you can't. So let's say that you're with someone who can't belly up to the bar, and you have to think about, what am I doing that prevents this person from taking extra or ordinary responsibility? Maybe you're making too many of the decisions. So what you want to do is sit down with your partner and say, look, I have a sense that I'm not including you enough in our decisions, and I want your input. And if your partner says, whatever you want, honey, don't accept that as something that's wonderful, because what usually backfires is someone who really isn't your teammate, and after a while, you kind of feel like Atlas, you know, the mythological figure Atlas of holding the world on his shoulders. You carry too much. So what you want to do is gently help your partner take more responsibility and give it to him or her to see if they can, so that you know that eventually when you make a decision to stay or leave, you have not been part of the problem.
Oh, wow. That sounds like not just a lot of work, but I don't know, like when someone can see that there's a problem, shouldn't they just leave? Like, are there any red flags that just say, hey, you need to get out of here?
Oh, yes, there are some important red flags, like being beaten. How about when you see on those TV shows like Dateline, mm-hmm. where you hear about this, you know, attractive divorcee or widow who falls for this man, and she feels so loved and special again and feels that, you know, her life has been reclaimed. And he ends up, of course, murdering her. But before he does that, he's absconded with all her money. So you want to look for secrets. You know, is your partner disappearing into the basement? Do they have a computer that you don't have access to? Is there suddenly less money in the bank account? Or are there suddenly new toys in the house, you know, brand new computers, cars, you know, whatever, you know, expensive things? And what about not knowing where your partner is and you can't reach them? These are big red flags. So when I say work on the relationship, that means an everyday relationship. You always want to take a look at the answer to the question, what could I be doing to encourage this kind of behavior in my partner that I don't like? And it usually comes in the form of taking too much control or too little say, not speaking up enough or taking over too much. But what you're talking about are those horrible deal breakers. And believe it or not, cheating is not necessarily in of itself a deal breaker. There are partners who over time, and I mean long time, can recover from cheating, but it is very, very difficult.
Thank you, Dr. Wish, for speaking about relationship deal breakers with me. For more information about Dr. Wish, visit lovevictory.com. That's LoveVictory.com. Also like Dr. Wish on Facebook at LeslieBeth.Wish. That's LeslieBeth.Wish.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait to hear more?
Subscribe, rate, and comment at MasonVeraPayne.com.
That's MasonVeraPayne.com.
Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.